Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Most people living in the Columbia Pacific region have heard the term LNG. What is it? What does it mean? Why is it relevant here in this area at this time? Liquefied natural gas. That's what LNG means. However, for 9 years, the Columbia Pacific region has been working on two projects. Well, actually, there are many projects, and we're going to try to keep it simple today. We're going to talk about LNG 101. Today, there is a hearing. The Clatsop County Commissioners will be having a hearing at the Guy Boynton Building at 3:30 in downtown Astoria about a pipeline. How the pipeline relates to LNG, we're going to find that out today, too. In the studio, I have Lori Kaplan. Lori is a longtime no LNG leader in the community. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Donna.
And I also have Tessa James Scheller. Tessa James Scheller is a community activist who lives in Warrenton and has been involved with this issue for a very long time, too. Hi, Tessa.
Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. Before we start talking about LNG 101, Lori, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I moved to Astoria from Denver in 1996. Felt like I've always been here. I still feel that. I will try to be remembering things that happened way before I moved here. And of course, I wasn't here, but I've worked at the college. I've been a psychotherapist, a teacher. I've worked at Job Corps. And now I get to be a volunteer. So I'm, in fact, my first volunteer job was at KMUN at the annual members meeting. So I've been volunteering ever since. And when the LNG issue came up, and I thought it was so reckless and outrageous that I thought it would just disappear, that the projects would be laughed out of town, and they haven't been. So that's what I do now. I do anti-LNG work.
All right. That's your passion, I know.
As a volunteer, yes.
And Tessa James Scheller, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Donna. My family and I moved here in 1979. I was the certified registered nurse anesthetist at the Seaside General Hospital, and I worked there for about 5.5 years and spent the next 22 years working for Kaiser in Portland and traveled back and forth because I love this area so much. My family has a small 15-acre farm on the banks of the Skippinon River in mid-Clatsop Plains, and we love it, and we're going to stay here forever.
Well, having people committed to a place, a community, I mean, more and more we hear how important that is, because there is no next better place over the hill. You just have to stay where you are and try to take care of that place, it seems. All right, Lori, what is LNG, liquefied natural gas? And can you just kind of give us a very brief overview?
Yes. Oh, I will try. It's hard to do this in less than a few pages, but
I'll do a few moments.
Yes,
just for people who are listening who may not know.
Liquefied natural gas is a method of transporting natural gas that is cheaper than just sending the gas in a pipeline. And what it involves is supercooling it to some really unimaginably cold temperature where it condenses. And then it is stored and then shipped. And the original proposal from Calpine in 2004 was to bring liquefied natural gas to this country because the promoters of that project were saying that this country needed more natural gas.
So the Columbia River, which is a huge highway for commercial ship traffic, a lot of shipping. It's just a vibrant economic thing, a lot of fishing. It's the estuary where the salmon are. It's their nursery. So in 2004, 9 years ago, this company, this New York-based company, said, we want to put an LNG facility here in Warrenton, correct?
That's right. And then shortly after that, another proposal was made for by another natural gas company for up at Bradwood, about 20 miles upriver. And that proposal was called Bradwood Landing. And they were insisting we needed imported gas in this country. That company went belly up and left Clatsop County, owing the county $200,000 and owing a lot of private companies and local charities money as well. And so they're out of the picture. The economics has changed because of fracking, which is this kind of crazy, dangerous method of extracting gas and oil from deep underground. In this case, the Oregon LNG proposal is now to export natural gas, liquefied natural gas, because they have access to fracked gas. There's no fracking in Oregon, but this state would be dramatically affected if fracked natural gas comes to Oregon mostly by pipe and then would be shipped out and exported to Asia.
All right. So in 2004, a company called Calpine, that's an excellent, came in and said, we want to build these huge storage tanks and we want to ship. And this is, you know, and that's when the community said, wait, there are some economic factors. There are safety factors. There are environmental factors. This doesn't seem like a good idea. So then community activists from all over this Columbia Pacific region got together, formed organizations, started to work with Columbia Riverkeeper, then were successful in really getting the Bradwood Landing to go away. Right. And then Calpine morphed, and because they were going to bring liquefied natural gas into the United States saying we need it, then they changed. They became Oregon LNG, and they said, oh, no, wait, now we don't need it. We want to now take our liquefied natural gas from the United States, sell it on the open market, which would then raise prices for everyone in the United States. And they're doing it because they
can make so much money. the gas energy prices generally, but gas prices specifically overseas are 2 to 3 times what we pay. And so the profit would, of course, lead them to want to sell more gas overseas than here. And it could also drive up American natural gas prices. And the thing is, most of these companies are owned by investors from around the world. So these aren't necessarily just an Australian coal company or a Canadian LNG company or a company in New York. These are investor-owned from all over the world, so their loyalty is to the company and to the profits, which is okay, except on their way to making profits, they're really threatening our communities, and specifically they're threatening Warrenton and Hammond and Astoria and Clatsop County.
And Tessa James Scheller, why did you get involved with this? What do you see as the most critical issues about why Oregon LNG would not be good for the community?
Donna, this is somewhat personal for me. My family, again, we live on the Skipanon River. I am doing my very level best to restore, to maintain, to recreate wetlands where we can, to save the iconic salmon of this area. I also work with a trails organization, so I'm working at, to me, my mind, better alternatives than LNG.
So you're working on restoration rather than, and so it really looks like it's either restoration or destruction. Is that what, I mean, is that kind of, would you look at it that way?
Yes, that's literally how it feels to me. Okay. There are about 70 acres on the Skipanon Peninsula where the LNG site is proposed that are probably the most restorable public lands in the Lower Columbia Estuary.
Okay, so it really, there's a huge economic piece to this, as well as the environmental and the economic.
Right,
and the safety issue.
I appreciate your giving us time to explain all this because it is so complicated. So another economic issue related to what Tessa has just said is that because of the security requirements around LNG tankers, the Coast Guard has these tremendous requirements that essentially could block other ships from being near a tanker, 500 feet, which because of the narrow shipping channel that we have on the Columbia, would mean that a lot of ships won't be able to go either direction when a tanker is coming in or or birthed or departing, which could mean we don't even have an answer. What happens in a storm? Do fishermen get to come in over the bar if an LNG tanker is there? We don't know. There's no clarification from the Coast Guard on this. There's a lot
of... It's like Pandora's box, it seems like.
Yes, exactly. Okay. There are just so many consequences and probably things that even those of us who've been looking at this for years can't even think about. But shipping, public health, public safety, local jobs, so much is at stake.
All right. And so for 9 years, local organizations have been really working to make Oregon LNG be accountable and to realize that this is not an appropriate place to put an LNG facility in this very tenuous, where it's also an earthquake
right.
zone. And
yes.
I mean, there are a whole lot of factors here. And so Columbia Riverkeeper is involved, and then these local organizations. And there is a pipeline issue, too, and that's what's going to be on the docket this afternoon. So we need right. to figure out how is this Oregon LNG facility, what is the connection with the pipeline? Why do they need that?
Okay. Shall I?
Well, there's no facility. There's no LNG facility without the pipeline. You can't just create a pipeline and expect to get gas there magically. It's going to have to travel under farms, through forests, past parks, maybe near your landing strip at the airport.
Yeah. So part of what gets to happen is because of some unique federal laws, the county commissioners can decide whether to approve or deny that pipeline. Without the pipeline, there is no terminal. Because, as Tessa said, you need a product to ship out, and they can't get the product without a pipeline. But the pipeline is proposed to go through Clatsop County and then Veers north, well, it goes east and then north. There, I think they're even proposing to go under the Columbia River, which that's a whole other hour of discussion. So what happens is in March of 2011, the county commissioners made a preliminary vote to deny the pipeline because they said it simply did not meet the county's land use guidelines, which when you read them, they're not particularly extreme. They're certainly pro-business. They're pro-people. They're pro-long-term sustainable county. Oregon LNG then intervened and has been taking the county and Columbia Riverkeeper to court to say, well, you don't have a say, you don't have a right to vote, you da da da. Whatever argument could be made, I'm imagining they are even complaining about an attorney's hairstyle. I mean, it's gotten ridiculous and anti-democratic.
It is a very big company.
Oh, it's huge.
It invests in a lot of investors. They have a lot of money. They have
right.
a lot of attorneys. And so it's kind of like David and Goliath in a way. And you have these citizens, concerned citizens who live in
yes.
this area, and also organizations which care about the environment all over the United States are involved in
right.
this as well.
And one of the neat things that we've learned is that because of the local communities, people's outrage against these projects and fierce work to stop these proposals from happening, that communities across the country are now looking at us to see how we stopped this project, because everybody said it would be impossible to stop Redwood Landing. People still think it's impossible to stop Oregon LNG, and we know it's not. We know we are going to defeat them.
Perfect. And if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today we are talking about liquefied natural gas, in particular Oregon LNG, which for 9 years has been attempting to build a huge LNG facility in Warrenton. And We are talking also about the fact that there is a hearing today in downtown Astoria with the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners, and we'll talk more about that hearing in the second half of the program. Today, my guests are Lori Kaplan. She is a no-LNG leader here in the Columbia Pacific region, and also Tessa James Scheller, who is a community activist and has been involved with this LNG issue for 9 years. So this afternoon, we've just set the stage. I think we've explained. Hopefully, those of you listening now are kind of up to date on what LNG is and why this matters to the Columbia Pacific region, what's at stake, and the fact that now this afternoon the county commissioners are in the position of having to make a decision to uphold their previous decision to deny the pipeline application to Oregon LNG. Is that correct?
Yes. We're assuming that they will probably uphold their previous preliminary decision from 2011.
One never knows. One never knows.
No. And they may vote this afternoon if the hearing lasts a long time or too long for everyone. Then they have scheduled a second hearing for October 23rd in case they need to finish up then.
So can the public testify today?
No, they have volumes of testimony and evidence and research. So what will happen today at 3:30 is the attorneys for Riverkeeper, Columbia Riverkeeper, who's been representing the opposition to the proposal, and the attorneys for Oregon LNG can make arguments. I'm assuming that both sides will speak.
And there's a rally before, is that
there's
correct?
There's a rally before at 2:30 on 9th and Commercial in support of, to encourage the commissioners to deny the pipeline. And so everyone's invited to that. You can wear red, and all we do is wave and smile. We're a friendly group, and so it's a good rally. And then the hearing will start. And I believe it's just part of their regular twice a month meeting. There will be the arguments from the attorneys. The commissioners, I believe, will probably go through the different points of county land use law just to make sure that they're clear on what the different pro and con pieces are about the issues at hand. It's not just a matter of sitting down and saying yes or no. They have been so deliberative. And if you're not, I would encourage listeners, even if you don't care about LNG or you're supported, it's really worthwhile to come and see government in action, especially when we're all so aware of what's going on in Washington and the way that governance is not happening. Governance at the local level is pretty impressive, especially at the county. So I encourage everyone to come.
So whether you support LNG or whether you're opposed to LNG in this area, the hearing this afternoon at 3:30 would be a very good way to listen to the arguments from both sides. And the other thing is that these groups that are here that continue to work, because this is one step in the process, because let's say that the county commissioners, obviously if they vote to uphold what they did already decide, mm-hmm. then can Oregon LNG come back and sue them again and keep the process going on and on?
Yes. The short answer is yes. And with so much money at stake, billions with a B, I would assume that they would. Of course, they haven't told us what their plans are, but they've been dropping little hints. And so my guess is that they would appeal. But every instance of showing local opposition is so powerful, especially because the state of Oregon is not supposed to proceed to do any of the permitting that they need to do for this project unless they have the county has approved it. So that's one level of government that would have to say, sorry, Oregon LNG, we can't process. The federal government, in theory, is bound to state and county law in this, but there are also arguments that the federal government can just ignore us. So this is also a states' rights issue, and a lot of other states are watching us carefully to see how the state of Oregon defends its own land use guidelines and its own counties from the power of this multinational corporation and from the federal government. So there are lots of levels that this is going on at, and it is, it's really fascinating. It can be really discouraging, but also incredibly inspiring to see good governance. We've had great meetings and good information from officials at county, state, and federal level who are just trying to do their jobs in a conscientious manner. And so I really hope that people will get more involved.
And how can people do that? Well, Tessa James Schaller, tell us a little bit about how what you think needs to be done now and how people can be involved.
Well, first of all, Don, I'd like to ask people to imagine this pipeline. The Skipanon Peninsula is a couple hundred acres that's human-made. It's going to turn to jello in an earthquake. And that pipeline is going to be buried under the ground right near your shopping center. You can shopping at Freddy's. There's a pipeline just feet away from you. It's going to go by the airport. It's going to go under the Lewis and Clark River. It's going to go through forests. It's going to go through nurseries all kinds of farms that really don't want it. And if this is public land that the facility would be sited on, but it's private lands that they would condemn for actually private profit, it makes no sense to me in an economic standpoint. I want people to be involved in alternatives that make more sense and fit better here. I want them to work for trails and to work for restoration of the habitat for our iconic salmon. I want them to protect the industries we have here. Our fisheries are vital. The Skipanon Waterway has literally hundreds of vessels that come and go, thousands during the Buoy 10 fishery. And it's a significant economic benefit to us. There's mitigation opportunities there for the Port of Astoria that they could well take advantage. We see better alternatives that fit here, make better sense for the people here.
Okay, great. And we just have a few minutes left. So I know that the Columbia River Keeper has a website, and you can just Google that and go onto that.
Right.
The organization that you're part of is called Columbia Pacific Common Sense. And we can talk about the screening of Gasline, but let's let people know how to reach you. If you are interested, you want to find out more information about Oregon LNG, about how you can be involved with this group of local people who are working toward a balance in this community of protecting the economics of the area, the heritage, the culture, the industry, safety, so many issues here. Then, Lori, how do people get in touch with you?
Yes. Please feel free to call me at 503-338-6508. You can also email me at LCAP, as in pepper, LAN. The number is 2010, so lkaplan2010@gmail.com. We have a fabulous email list that is about LNG issues, news, events. It will keep you up to date, keep you informed. And, you know, if you want to get more involved, it will let you know how to do that. So 503-338-6508. Thanks, Donna.
Yeah, or L Kaplan, LCAPLAN, 2010@gmail.com. And all of these amazing people who have come together and have been working on this issue for so many years and continue to be optimistic and feel like, yes, you know, David can beat Goliath. You're doing a lot of different things. You have regular meetings. You actually were having a screening of Gasland at 2 p.m. at the Columbian Theater this Sunday, which is free.
Sunday the 20th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
not
okay.
This Sunday.
And it's Sunday Gasland, too. It's actually the follow-up to Gasland. This is a film about fracking, and we now know that fracking affects us in Oregon because Oregon LNG would depend on fracking. So this is part of the an international global frackdown day or weekend. So we hope everyone's invited. It's free. It's open to the public.
And that's Sunday?
Sunday, October 20th at 2 o'clock at the Columbian Theater, 11th and Marine Drive, with their brand new digital projector.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. I think that this issue affects everyone. This is an issue that would affect the quality of life. It affects everything in this region. So it's very important to be involved in that. And so we just have another minute left. Any last thing you'd like to say, Tessa James?
Well, I'm grateful to be here with you, Donna. And I would also ask people to contact me at 503-861-3669 or tessa.james@charter.net.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So now you have two contact numbers where you can reach people. And because maybe you just moved to this area and you're listening, or maybe you live somewhere else, but you have a special affection for this rare jewel known as, yes, you know, the Columbia Pacific area, which only exists in this one place, which has all of this amazing history and is the estuary for the salmon and the famous Columbia River salmon. So there's maybe you're involved wherever you live. And so now you know how to get in touch with Columbia Riverkeeper. Any last thing you'd like to say, Lori?
Yes, you said something, Donna, that I have to praise all of the hundreds and hundreds of people in the Columbia River near here in Clatsop County, and also inland in the valley and in the Portland area and across the river and Puget Island and everywhere. People treasure this area, and we have had incredible volunteers who just keep pitching in and won't quit, and we're going to save the Columbia, we're going to save this region. So thank you for taking time to help reach people, to let them know what's going on.
Absolutely, because this area does belong to more than just those who live here. It belongs to the world.
Absolutely.
It's a very important area for so many reasons. Well, I want to thank you so much, Lori Kaplan, for being here. Thank you, Tessa James Scheller. And again, if you'd like to come out, there's a rally tonight. Today, this afternoon at 2:30 at the Guy Boynton Building in front of the Guy Boynton Building.
9th and Commercial.
9th and Commercial Street in downtown Astoria. The hearing's at 3:30, and you can come out and watch the gladiators perform. And then, you can get more information, and I will leave this contact information here at the station for you. Thank you for listening to Talk of Our Towns, and thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and also local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those good things. There will always be challenges and things which aren't so good, but focus on the things that are working in your life, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.